week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 30th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Coming up on Monday's show, South Africans continue to celebrate their men's national rugby team, which won a second straight world title and record fourth overall. Google Doodle recently celebrated the 60th birthday of the late Nigerian footballer Rashidi Yekini. We'll hear from one of Yekini's childhood friends. The Football Association of Malawi appoints a new head coach, hoping he can ignite the national men's team, nicknamed the Flames. These stories and more on Monday's Sunny Side of Sports. We kick off with South Africa's victorious men's rugby team, the Springboks. The Springboks edged the All Blacks of New Zealand Saturday 12-11 in a bruising Rugby World Cup final at the Stade de France near Paris. The defending champion Springboks won their record fourth world title, setting off celebrations throughout South Africa. Myron Nyka joins us now from Durban with more on the blockbuster win by the Boks. Sporty greetings, Myron.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Lit up in the colors of the South African flag, the iconic Eiffel Tower illuminated the Paris night sky in honor of the Springboks on Saturday night. The 2023 Rugby World Cup final will go down as one of the greatest matches in the tournament's long history. It had the makings of an epic as two of the sport's greatest rivals collided, and it certainly lived up to its billing. For 80 minutes, the Springboks and All Blacks threw everything at each other. It would be an evening of fine margins. The Boks goal-kicking, powered by Hanre Pollard, was the deciding factor as his four successful penalties handed South Africa victory. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa was at the match and lifted the trophy alongside captain Siyamthanda Kolisi.
It still hasn't sunk in.
No.
It is huge.
It's not just any win, it's a historic win.
It is huge. Yeah, it is unreal.
South Africa won all three of their knockout matches by a single point. The margins were indeed fine as South Africa got the better of France, England and the All Blacks en route to the title. Springbok coach Jacques Nineba says the team was inspired by South African supporters who found a way to get to France as well as those back home.
Probably for our fans, for South Africa, I wish I could show you the amount of messages and videos and what was going on in South Africa. I think there were 62 million people that united from small farming communities, opening up showgrounds, that people from all walks of life could go in, and the entrance fee was whatever you want to donate, and people bought T-shirts, green T-shirts for everyone. So we felt every single little bit of energy they gave us, and I think in the last three games with 3 1-point victories, we needed that, and that drove us.
All Blacks coach Ian Foster paid homage to the Springboks before heaping praise on his squad.
Heck of a final. It's always high emotion, both sides of the fence in a final, and this will be no different. 12-11, and I just firstly want to congratulate South Africa on what they've achieved. They've showed a lot of character and tenacity through this tournament. That's three close games that they've come out the right side, so they're doing something right. So congratulations to them on a magnificent tournament. For us, it's heartbreaking, and I looked at the effort of our team and the way we played and came back and gave ourselves a really good crack at that in that second half, particularly with the red card in the first half and the sort of the damage that decision made. So overall, incredibly proud of our team, but we got a pretty disappointed shed.
It was a frantic encounter at times, with the referee Wayne Barnes dishing out a number of cards. All Blacks captain Sam Kane was shown a red card early in the first half, while Siya Kolisi and Cheslin Kolbe were yellow carded in the second half. Kane says his team left everything out there.
It's hard because you're feeling so much hurt, but at the same time you're so proud of the group and how they fought back and really gave themselves a good shot at winning that game. So I think it speaks volumes of the group as a whole. They're a fantastic group of men who care so much about playing for the All Blacks. They care so much about making New Zealand proud. As Fozzie said, there's a lot of heartbreak in the sheds right now.
South African captain Siya Kolisi became only the second man to lead a team to two World Cup titles after New Zealand's Richie McCaw. In the post-match news conference, Kolisi highlighted the socio-economic issues in South Africa and said his team was inspired to make a positive change.
What brings us together is our country. What brings us together to play for is the Springbok and then South Africa. And that's what has been driving us. That's honestly that's been driving. And I can't explain it to you in words. You need to be a South African to understand. You need to come to South Africa and see it. It's a beautiful country with a lot of problems. But once we come together, and we've come together a lot before for a common goal, and I promise you nothing can stop us as a country. And it's not just in sport. It's in life.
The Springboks are due to arrive back in the country on Tuesday morning. SA Rugby have planned a nationwide trophy parade, which will begin in the country's capital, Pretoria, on Thursday. Millions of South Africans are expected to line up the streets to get a sight of the William Webb Ellis Cup and the victorious team. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Myra Naika in Durban, South Africa.
Go Boca!
Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter, handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. Something to crow about, Sunny Side of Sports listeners. African players once again made their impact in the major European club football leagues over the weekend. Prince Nesta joins us once again with some highlights. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings, Sunny.
Prince, an Arsenal striker of Ghanaian descent, ends a scoring drought in stunning fashion with a hat trick. Talk to us about that, Prince.
That's right, Sonny. English striker of Ghanaian descent Eddie Nketiah recorded a hat trick as Arsenal secured a 5-0 win against Sheffield United at the Emirates. Late goals from Fabio Vieira and Takehiro Tomiyasu sealed the much-needed victory for the Gunners, who are now second in the table with 24 points. Having gone 6 games without a goal, Nketiah says hat-trick means he has already matched his best goal tally for a Premier League campaign. Here's Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta's thoughts on the match.
We decided to prepare the game on Thursday. We had a really emotional week. We're traveling, playing 2 very, very tough away games. And today was a very different context. You know, we had to be prepared for that. They're fighting for their lives. They've been really organized. They've been really good against the big teams and really struggled the big teams to beat them. And we had to get prepared for that. And we had to be patient. But as well, we had to do certain things better than the first, especially between 10 and 25 minutes in the first half, to attack them better, to create them more problems, be more of a threat and play the game where we want it.
That's Arsenal head coach Mikel Arteta speaking after his team's emphatic win against Sheffield United in the Premier League.
Prince, here's a fun Premier League fact for you. I know you were asking me recently about my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Well, Gwen's favorite Premier League team is Liverpool. And Prince, maybe Gwen pulled out her Liverpool lucky charm after their result over the weekend?
Yes, indeed, Sonny. Liverpool cruised to a 3-0 win at home to Nottingham Forest, courtesy of goals from Diogo Jota, Darwin Nunez, and Egyptian playmaker Mo Salah. The Reds have now made it 3 wins from 3 after the international break, with the win helping them record their 8th straight home victory in all competitions. Interestingly enough, Sonny, the Reds have never lost a game in which Diogo Jota has scored, and the Portuguese international wasted no time extending that run to 38 matches over the weekend. Here's Liverpool manager Jürgen Klopp's thoughts on his team's performance.
I told the boys after the game, the best thing you can say after a game like this is that we played really good and there's so much space for improvement. So that's, I think that's obvious as well. The goals were fantastic. The patience we showed, the fluidity in a lot of moments, not in all, but in a lot of moments. The creativity, the togetherness in how we connected with each other was really good. The goals we scored, I'm not sure, 70-something probably percent possession, didn't look at it. But the first goal was a counter-attack, so really good. That's what I threw. The third goal was a counter-attack as well, by the way. And the second goal was a wonderful team play. Good, absolutely good. Game and question will come anyway, so I can give the answer immediately. Game preparation was the most difficult I ever had in my life.
That's Liverpool head coach Jürgen Klopp speaking after his team's win against Nottingham Forest in the Premier League.
Prince, the defending Premier League champion Manchester City, travels to Old Trafford and soundly beats rival Manchester United. How about some details on that match, Prince?
Yeah, Sonny, Manchester definitely remained blue after Manchester City secured a 3-0 derby win against their rivals at Old Trafford. Norwegian Benjamin Erling Haaland scored twice, while Phil Foden added another to send the Blues to third in the table. The Red Devils have now lost 5 of their opening 10 Premier League games and sit 8th in the table. 8 points off the top 4. Haaland has now scored 11 goals this season. City boss Pep Guardiola expressed thoughts on his team's performance.
Well, the second goal helped us a lot, and what I like, because the first minutes we're talking at half time, they will be more aggressive. They were, but we make incredible 2 build ups with Ruben and Ederson, and after we dropped them, and after they were even more scary, and after Bernardo and Jack and Bernardo make a good action, and Erling scored the second goal, and after, yeah, that was the key point of the game. But except the first 10 minutes that we lost easy balls in positions that don't do proper simple things, but the most difficult thing in football is do the easy things, the simple things. Do we allow them to make a transitions in that period, like they can punish you? But after the goal, and the first half was good in general, but of course second half at the 0-2 was brilliant. And really pleased. Last season we lost, this season we won here, and always a special to win for all of us in Old Trafford, of course.
And the Fire Manchester United boss Erik ten Hag shared thoughts on his team's performance.
I think first half we played very good, so we defended very well. Game plan went up. We had good breaks. We had good opportunities. Maybe we could have taken more benefit from it, but I think still we did. And I think the penalty changes the game, and then we had to react second half to go more offensive. Yeah, and from there on, they take benefit from us.
That's Manchester United boss Erik ten Hag speaking after his team's loss against Manchester City in the Premier League.
Prince, still with the Premier League, the Blues of Chelsea, currently 11th on the table with 12 points from 10 matches. A frustrating afternoon for Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, don't you think, Prince?
For sure, Sonny. Goal from Cameroonian striker Brian Beumo and Ethan Pinnock were enough to ensure Chelsea fell to a 2-0 defeat against Brentford at Stamford Bridge. The Blues will now switch focus to the EFL Cup at home to Blackburn on Wednesday, before visiting Tottenham, who also secured a crucial 2-1 win against Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park to go 2 points clear at the top of the table. Here's Tottenham manager Ange Postecoglou on his team's performance.
It's not an easy place to come. It's never going to be an open game of football here, and in their four games so far, I think they conceded three goals and very few chances. They're a really well organised team, very disciplined defensively, and I knew we'd have to be patient. It was a test of our discipline today in sort of sticking to our football, and that's why I'm really pleased, because it's another different way for us to win a game.
That's Tottenham head coach Ange Postecoglou speaking after his team's win against Chelsea in the Premier League.
Prince, let's turn our attention to France now, and let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Kylian Mbappe, the PSG star who scored two goals over the weekend. He now has 251 goals in his club career. Your reaction, Prince?
Yes, indeed, Sonny. He did score twice as Paris Saint-Germain saw off Brest 3-2 to move up to second in the French league. Warren Zaïre-Emery also hit the target for the Parisians, while Steve Mooney and Jeremy Doiron scored Brest's consolation goal. The win stretches PSG's unbeaten run in the French league to 5 games and moves them to within a point of leaders Nice, who also secured a 1-0 win against Clermont thanks to Hicham Boadu's goal. French footballer of Guinean descent Bafole Diakite and Ivan Cavalero both scored to seal a 2-0 win against Monaco, while Marseille's game against Lyon was also suspended after Lyon's coach Fabio Grosso suffered a head injury after their team bus came under attack from fans throwing projectiles. A French league commission will meet to decide what to do with the fixture.
Wow, Prince. Sad story about Lyon's coach. And it sounds like some penalties are definitely in order. Let's go to Spain now, Prince. How about Real Madrid coming from behind to beat Barcelona?
Oh, that was quite a match, Sonny. Real Madrid did come from behind to beat Barcelona 2-1 in their first El Clasico of the season. Ilkay Gundogan put Barca in the lead before English wonderkid Jude Bellingham scored twice to seal victory for the Los Blancos in the second half. Bellingham has now scored 13 goals in 13 appearances for the club with 3 assists and have only failed to find the net in 3 matches. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince. The Football Association of Malawi has appointed Patrick General Mabedi as the new head coach of the men's national team, nicknamed the Flames. Coach Mabedi has been charged with igniting the Flames for some upcoming international competitions. In this Sunny Side of Sports feature presentation, Lamech Messina reports from Blantyre, Malawi. Sporty greetings, Lamech.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Patrick General Mabedi was a caretaker coach for the Flames for 4 months after Malawi declined to give a Romanian coach, Mario Marinica, another contract because of poor performance. General Secretary for the Football Association of Malawi, Alfred Gunda, told the Sunny Side of Sports that Mabedi competed with over 50 applicants for the job.
Mabedi is a tried and tested coach. He has been with the under-20 for the past now 3 years. As he was working with the under-20, Coach Mabedi has been working with the other coaches who are with the senior team as an assistant. In his time as a caretaker coach, he has proven that he's a person that can move us to the next level.
As a caretaker coach, Mabedi in July of this year led the Flames to the semifinals of the COSAFA Cup for the first time in 20 years after winning all the 3 matches. The achievement resulted in a local estate agency giving him a free plot of 15 meters by 30 meters in the capital, Lilongwe. In a recent Africa Cup of Nations qualifying matches, Mabedi led the Flames to draws against Ethiopia and Guinea. His 2-year contract has several targets attached, including qualifying the Flames for the 2025 Africa Cup of Nations in Morocco and at least a semi-final placement in the COSAFA tournament. But sports analyst George Gaudzamasina says the targets are unrealistic. He says it sounds strange that Mabedi is required to lead the Flames into the semi-finals of the COSAFA Cup.
The team has reached finals before, twice, and they have been in semifinals several times. I thought they would be talking about winning the cup. And again, these are the targets. The challenge it will be, it's only when they can give him support the same way they've been giving the expected coaches, that might suffice. At the same time, a two-year contract, you can't give a coach such ultimatums. It will be very, very difficulty.
Gaudzamasina says if not revisited, such targets would seem like a trap to make Mabedi fail and use it as an excuse to hire another foreign coach, as has been tradition in Malawi. However, he adds, with the proper planning, Mabedi can easily achieve those targets.
What Mabedi should do is that he has to have a strong backroom staff, not a backroom staff which you be controlling, but that type of backroom staff which can give him ideas to win as a team.
Obre Nanguni is the chairperson for the National Football Coaches Association here in Malawi. He says there is nothing wrong with the targets given to Mabedi, and the targets should propel the coach to perform beyond expectations.
I think Mr. Mabedi, what he's going to do now is to sit down and to plan that they have given me this target. Let me exceed the target. Let me go and grab the COSAF, or let me qualify for the World Cup, or let me also qualify for the AFCON. But he should work hard in order to meet those targets. It's like in your company, you hire a marketing manager. You give him a target that at the end of the year, would like the company to make such money. It's all the same, so we are happy.
Nanguni is appealing to national football administrators in Malawi to motivate Mabedi by meeting whatever he requests to improve the performance of the team. Meanwhile, Coach Mabedi told the Sunny Side of Sports via text on a messaging app that he would comment on his new appointment once he concludes discussions on the deal with the country's soccer authorities. Football Association of Malawi General Secretary Gunda said all is in place to provide a conducive work environment for Mabedi.
Conditions of service would want to make sure that whatever he requires for him to perform well is put on the table and is made available to him. When he puts up programs, we ensure that we undertake such programs in terms of remuneration. Those are matters of conversation that we have administratively with the coach, and we should be in a position to offer him a comfortable package that resonates with a position like that of a national coach.
Writing on his Facebook page, the chairperson for the Malawi National Council of Sports, Sondozwayo Matise, said he welcomes the appointment of Mabedi as Flames coach. Matise called on authorities to give Mabedi the support and tools he needs to bring back the glory that he said Malawi once tasted. Mabedi is expected to start working on November 1st upon successful negotiation of his two-year contract. His first assignment is a game against Liberia in November in Africa's qualifying competition for the 2026 FIFA World Cup, and another match against Tunisia the same month. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Lamek Masina in Blanta, Malawi.
Thanks, Lamek. In pro boxing, former MMA fighter Francis Ngannou of Cameroon is being applauded after his controversial split decision loss to WBC heavyweight champion Tyson Fury in Saudi Arabia. Now, many fight fans thought it would be an easy victory for Fury since Ngannou was making his pro boxing debut. But Ngannou not only took Fury the 10-round distance, he also knocked him down in the third round with a left hook.
I was really looking forward to win this fight, but I do learn a lot about the sport. You know, this is really my first time.
Taking a look at the judges' scorecards in Saudi Arabia, Juan Carlos Pelayo of Mexico scored the fight 96-93 for Fury. Alan Krebs of the USA gave Fury a 95-94 victory. And Ed Garner of Canada gave the fight to Ngannou at 95-94. Speaking after the non-title bout, Tyson Fury said, and I quote, "That definitely wasn't in the script. Francis is a hell of a fighter, a strong, big puncher, and a lot better boxer than we all thought he would ever be." Google Doodle recently celebrated the 60th birthday of the late Nigerian footballer Rashidi Yekini. You can see the Yekini Google Doodle at my Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with one of Yekini's childhood friends, Bayor Issa.
"I want to join Google in celebrating the greatest striker Nigeria has ever produced, Rashidi Yekini, from Ira in Kwara State, my own state. I believe strongly that Rashidi Yekini is a genius, a name that echoes with adoration among African football enthusiasts. Rashidi Yekini, over the years, did tremendously well, scoring Nigeria's first ever World Cup goal. Nicknamed the goals father, Yekini is Nigeria's topmost scorer with 37 goals, like you all know. But I believe strongly that Rashidi is even more than that, because Rashidi's assists has also helped Nigeria to score many goals. Born on October 23rd, 1963 in Kaduna, I know Rashidi very well, especially in his youth days. And I believe strongly that what Rashidi has done has put Nigeria in the world map, meaning that we have not been able to get another goals further like Yekini. In the days of Shegun Adegbami, Thompson Hussein and others, they didn't score as much as Rashidi Yekini. He was the highest goal scorer in the Ivory Coast Top Flight League for three consecutive years, 88, 89, and 1990, while playing in the colors of African sports. Yekini scored four goals to claim the Golden Boot. In 1993, he was crowned the African Footballer of the Year. Of course, he scored the first ever World Cup goal for Nigeria in 1994. Rashidi Yekini, 34 goals in a season, climaxed his career at Victoria Setubal after playing 32 games. He's still the highest goal scorer for Nigeria. Of course, you already know that Rashidi Yekini's career started with Kaduna. Of course, he moved to Shooting Stars, Abiola Babes, African Sports, etc. But I believe strongly that Rashidi Yekini has contributed immensely to the growth of football in Africa and, of course, in the world.
In his 14 years playing for Nigeria, Rashidi Yekini scored 37 goals in 58 appearances. Do you think Nigeria has footballers capable of repeating or surpassing Yekini's feat?
We can produce more Yekini if the right perspective is given to our players, talking about facilities, good coaching, and of course, determination from the players themselves. I believe strongly that Nigeria is endowed. I'm delighted in this perspective as we celebrate the goal king, Rashidi Yekini. Thank you very much for the opportunity you have given me to be part of this broadcast. As a sportscaster, I cannot but say Rashidi Yekini is a goal-scoring icon.
That's Nigerian sportscaster Bayor Issa. Bayor was also a childhood friend of the late Nigerian football star Rashidi Yekini. And Bayor spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria. And that wraps up the October 30th edition of the show.
I get it.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.